Jump right into it. Good morning, everyone. Music is like poetry, but this morning I need to say that art is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, and so does street art and graffiti. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking each and every one of you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you are sure to find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves. Indeed, this morning, vibrations. So I want to thank you for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, today, our Quest Youth Radio team will discover the impact of hip-hop and culture. Our honored guest, Chain 3, will share his experience in the game of street art and graffiti. Now, of course, the Black librarian, Tamir Davis, a street artist himself, starts the discussion with his insights for today's program, while yours truly will attempt to moderate. Now, I need to say, when it comes down to street art and graffiti, I just don't know, right? But today, you, along with me, will have an opportunity to learn. And so I would like to introduce our panel. First of all, Mr. Shelton Harris is on the line, and he'll chime in as we go along with any questions or comments. But now I want to turn it over to Mr. Davis, our Black librarian. And I say again, good morning to all.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing, Chain 3? I deeply appreciate you. Great, great, great. And I deeply appreciate the opportunity to actually converse with you you're legendary in terms of the graffiti, and we all know that graffiti is a standalone in terms of being an impact in urban societies. Graffiti been here before even the development or concept of hip-hop. With that being said, I'd like to know, what's your impact in terms of the graffiti culture? Because you've done so much. You mentored so many noted artists today. You mentored so many different crews in the Bronx. What's your impact in terms of hip-hop in its history? I mean, graffiti in its history.
Well, I would feel that I'm what we would say 360 degrees when it came to DJing and plus graffiti. So I'm not too much with the dancing, but not flipping around and all that. That's why I was behind the table. Okay. But I would like to say that I'm probably one of the guys who one out of four guys who created what we call the TMT style. I'm like one of four or maybe five guys that were in graffiti that changed the art world for what it is today. From, you know, I'm not going to come on like I've been in the past from the 60s or whatever, you know, and those artists back then, the ones with the single hit tags, but I'm a second generation master of this art, and I learned from this art from, you know, guys that I thought that were supreme masters, and, you know, and at least in my mind, they were awesome. You know, we probably like had to rack and steal for this art, but whatever came out of that racking and stealing, that art came supreme. And I thank those guys that was from before me to see, you know, the light, see it and see this thing grow.
Okay. I want to jump in real fast and remind everyone to be aware of your background noises. And that being said, my question is, Chain 3, why is street art important in today's society or any society at all? Why is it relevant?
Well, it's the creativity in my eyes. Something that it's an expression, you know, that needed to get out from kids. And somehow those kids grew, and this thing that they learned from years ago stood in their minds. And you have kids that are business minded now, and with this thing that grew, you know, you have guys that are business minded now and taking this art to a different level. Now, there's some that don't make it there and things, and you still see it, you know, but you got it's really important, you know, that for people to. Yeah, I'm got it a little mixed up. You know, you got to get this a little early. But it's really important, you know, for youth, you know, to understand where things came from. For this culture, you know, it's something where we used to have different things where we had different dancing, different DJing, and different hip-hop arena. But it's good to know that this thing that when this art came, it was just something that nobody ever thought that would happen. and we never thought it would be a business or anything. We just did it just to be doing it, and or just to, you know, pretty much impress each other. Now it it became a business, just like anybody selling ice cream or selling lemonade or whatever and things. You know, it just started. The importance of it is trying to get other people to understand where this thing came from. And, you know, it's not much I really can say about it, but it's just a real important that get together and things, man, that's in the business, you know, aspect to know where these masters are and, you know, where this thing, you know, actually started, if you understand.
Yeah, well, you know, with the celebration of 50 years of hip hop, there's been a lot in that celebration that has been left out and hasn't been given a platform to actually hear, you know, and but the people who have received the accolades, I'm sure they very well know. I want to hand it back to Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, your next question, keep it going.
Hello?
Yeah, we're still here. So I want to know,
one of the things,
Mr.
Yeah, I'm here. I have my phone on mute. One of the things that I find that's very important in terms of the graffiti culture is that there's people like one name that comes to mind is Phase Two and the INDS crew and his impact in terms of graffiti and that crew's impact in graffiti. Writers such as Riff 170, writers that was a part of that crew that was very integral in terms of the development as far back as 1971. Can you speak to that, Chain 3, that crew and their impact in terms of graffiti?
They was awesome. They were probably that crew right there gave me a dream that I wanted to be like them. Because they had the top stylist and top writers in that crew. They weren't the only ones now around, but I noticed that they were, you know, like as far as, you know, style was concerned, the artists you just mentioned, they was the top stylist at that time, like Phase Two, Riff 170. Those are the guys that I learned from, and they were, like, you know, super awesome. And also, you also had the Ebony Dukes, you know, also, let's not leave them out. They also was around with Staff, 161, and AJ. And Staff used to do nice cars. He wasn't the most stylish in things, but he did picturesque cars. And AJ, he had his own style. He wasn't in, like, mechanical letters. But, you know, he had his own style, such as another artist from the another crew, the Crazy Five, Blade One. But in all the INDs, you know, they were the ones that had pretty much like mechanical letters, the loop styles and whatever that we wanted to get into, the bubble styles and whatever. So they had a major impact on the graffiti community itself.
I need to jump in here. You know, many, you name any particular trade or skill, right? And it has its own terminology. And I need to bust in here to say, I'm going to need you to first, please, if you can, tell us how'd you get the name Chain 3? And then, talk to us, share with us, Mr. Davis, you as well. Share with us what is the terminology of the game, of the street art game, right? Because I'm listening to you guys talk, and as a layperson on the side, you know, I just enjoy the abstract. I enjoy the colors. You know, I'm just like a rookie on the side. So please help educate me and the audience.
Okay. Well, well, my name
start out
came...
by with, yeah.
Huh? None
I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say you can start with how'd you come up with the name.
Okay. Well, what happened? It wasn't my name originally. Because, well, you could just call me just a graffiti writer, but it wasn't my name originally. It was the original guy that had that name was Tony Tone from Cold Crush Brothers. Okay. We were in junior high school, and it was just, we were in the same class, and we were in the bathroom, and I was wondering what in the hell these guys were doing in the book, because I was looking at this art. You know, these guys had this black book, and it was, you know, flipping it and whatnot. And I tried to look over in it, and they just closed the book on me. So I went out in the hallway, and I asked, Tony Tone. I asked him, well, what is that? And things, what were they doing? And he was telling me it was graffiti and whatnot. And I found out everybody in my class had names and whatnot, and his name was Chain too. So I had, like, the way, you know, he was showing me in the hallway how they were hitting and all of this stuff, and I kind of liked his hit. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to write Chain 3 or whatever. He said, my girlfriend, like, write Chain 3 and whatnot. But I said, man, I'm going to write Chain 3. But it's thus, it just stuck. Chain 3 and whatnot. And then, you know, him, it was like, don't get me wrong now. Chain 2 got up, okay? Him and he had a partner, Snaps 3. And they really used to get up, you know, up and down the block. And he used to, like, laugh at me and things because I used to hit in my hallway. But this name stuck, and I kept doing it and doing it. And he just, like, said, well, let it go and whatnot. And then somehow and things, I kind of surpassed him in the graph game because I had art and things. And he became Tony Tone from Cold Crush. And, you know, I just kept Chain 3.
Now, share with us some of the terminology for the street art game, if you can.
Okay. First, you had to get up. Second, you had to know how to rack. And the third, you had to have style. Those are like the basic elements of a writer. The fourth one, you had to know how to fight. Well, let's hope. you like to hope it never ever comes to one of those things or whatever. But when you first start out, it's like you're starting out with markers, and you're into it. You know, you're meeting different people and you know, that's dealing with markers and how to deal with markers, pinning markers out to make them fatter, or learning how the sizes of markers and whatnot. And you're seeing people from different parts of the city as much as you tag and you get up. You learn different terminology like racking and, you know, which is stealing. You learn how to do different things. I can't tell you all the things that we had to do, but it's it becomes a sport. And this is, you know, I guess the running from cops and the different stories and whatnot that you tell, you know, becomes like a normal thing every day when you're meeting different writers. It's a you know, you see writers move up in stature and things, man. When you meet different writers, you'll meet ones that hit on the trains inside, or you'll meet some that hit the outside. The ones that you hit the outside, you definitely got to get into racking and things, because, hey, the more you rack and things, the more pieces you have, you know. So after that, if they see the same thing and the same thing, it turns into a style thing, or as an art, it turns one turns into style, and another place turns into getting up. Which avenue you want to go to? Do I want to get up and have my name all over the place, or do I want style and has and I can do one? And everybody's, oh, wow, yo, whoa, what's that? You know. The best I can describe it is like a feeling that you know, it's just like an outside life where you want to be king. You know, like guys want to be king of states. Guys want to be king of whatever, in chess or whatever it is. Guys want to be king. And getting up on the outside, it just turned into two avenues, and then it turned into three avenues where people started drawing little shapes and stuff on the outside, you know, going back to hieroglyphics or whatever. But you had the shape, the regular tagging, then you had the guys that want to do the pieces. Then you have the guys like the Keith Harrings and things come out and things and want to draw on the, you know, we don't like associating with ours, but this is a new kind of street art. And they, presented another avenue for a person to go and do whatever graffiti it is. I sound like my mother saying graffiti.
Yeah. Well, what do you call it?
Oh, we writers. You know. She, okay. My mother was the graffiti. What are you doing? The graffiti. Yo, that was the two words. The graffiti. I said, oh gosh. even other parents and things used to say the graffiti, but we called ourselves writers, bombers, hitters. Okay? And we weren't taggers. Tags, what we did. It wasn't, you know, because guys be like, oh, man, this is like, yo, rap and things. Man, no. We rap, but, you know, it's hip-hop. You know, it's like you know how people, like, change a certain thing and whatnot. And what we call ourselves, writers, because that's what we did. You know, if you were a bomber, You was the one that went out and things and just tagged up everything. If you was a stylist and things, he's a master and things, man. Yeah, man, he's bad and things. But, you know, you ain't had to do this thing that make yourself easy and have what do we call throw-ups, you know, like a single spraying with a tag around it. You had, you know, what we call masterpieces and, you know, that you put either shadows on the back of your name or 3D your name and make it stand out, you know, and put little characters around it and whatnot. And, you know, somebody's going to say, yo, wow, I can't believe, who did this? You know, guys live for that. And then afterwards, it's competition. You know, it's like going through it as, you know, a writer, you're going to go through some competition and somebody, you're going to go through some critics and things, yo, that's drippy and whatever. Or you're going to go through somebody, oh, it's hanging over. But then you're going to have somebody that's really nice, and then they're going to be, yo, man, I got to see you guys battle and whatnot. And that's where, you know, competition comes into view.
Okay, I want to take a moment to bring another voice in. Mr. Harris, I mentioned you at the top of the show. I want to give you an opportunity to chime in here with a question or a comment. Good morning again, Mr. Harris.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, if I was going to have like a question, because a lot of stuff that I've been hearing, excuse me, a lot of stuff that I've been hearing is just looking at the artistic individual and the expansion of his art. And I was wondering if with that art, is there any kind of social or political messages that you're trying to show to people that even though this is very artistic, and it is, but is there like a message that we're trying to convey to the broader society that doesn't understand beyond the art? Is there something like that you're trying to bring about at the same time?
Me?
Or whoever, you know, because from my perspective, you know, I'm not a graffiti artist or anything like that, but I love the fact that, you know, we're doing things that are more creative than people have done before us. And, you know, and in order to grow, you know, we have to take it beyond ourselves and put it into like a environment where everybody understands what's going on. And maybe we could redirect some of the miseducation that we have in our community through the art of graffiti. And I'm just asking, is that also being done?
Oh, yes, that's being done a lot. See, what it is now is, right now is, people now is, I'm looking at, I'm up here looking, you know, back at some of the things that's been happening. And you have shows like Aerosol that happened in Oakland, you know, that were opening doors. I didn't even know that it was, you know, that it's been going on for years, and, you know, it had been years and years. But you have the Schomburg that has, you know, once in a while they'll have something, you know, of that nature. It's just, you know, we have small avenues that need to get bigger. You know, it's just not, you know, we're just in small spots. And, you know, we have to get more of the word out, you know, about this subject. You know, I've been, you know, I've studied in the background because I had, a good job. But what happened was, you know, somebody that came to me and said, no, you know, you're so-and-so, you're Chain. You know, you should go so-and-so, you should go overseas and whatnot. And I found there's a big avenue out there that, you know, like other writers that should have been out there, you know, Faye's already been out there and opened up big doors. Oh, and he opened up a door for me, you know, to go out there. I just wish, you know, Riff had that chance or Butch had that chance. But there are, you know, avenues and places that we can, you know, open up. It's just, all it is just, you know, looking at ourselves and things and, you know, opening up our own venue, you know, just finding a good place, because we are all older and a little more business minded now. The thing is just to find in that venue and things, man, that nice promotion spot or whatever and things, because, you know, to work it up to Madison Square Garden or something like that, you know, because it, you know, right now it, you know, it's you know we're working with just small ideas, you know, instead of like going for that big structure, you know. And then, you know, it's like, you know, in that chance when we have one, you know, and we have that chance, it's just finding our right system to put that together. And, you know, yo, Magic, man, yo, throw this money our way. Yo, Mike, throw this money our way and things, man, and see what, you know, our art can do. This is what we need instead of saying. Yeah, yeah, I'm just, oh, I'm sorry. I'm, you know, but this is where I'm at, you know. It's not like we don't have it, you know. We have it. It's just like having that vehicle to push that more forward.
Right. That was my major understanding because, you know, from my point of view, you know, I think because it attracts so many people, the message that could be, like, added along with the art could move everything a little further. And just like you said, you know, people are trying to do that now. And it, that was, you know, I wasn't aware that a lot of this stuff was going on. But I'm glad to hear that from what you're saying, that it is something that's moving forward, and then we need to just stick with it and maybe get some more unity together and make it happen.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's, you know, we're not far behind, believe me. We're not far behind. It's just like looking for that major person to believe, look, there is a lot of artists. I'm pretty sure everybody here looked on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever, and things and seen there is a lot of art that's changed from regular single hits to double letters to cowboy letters to mechanical letters, and then all of a sudden these computer generated whatever and things is that came out now and things, and you know, these different styles that are coming out now, it's a big thing, it needs a platform, you know, and
right,
you know, we,
because,
you know,
because the next thing I wanted to ask you, though, I don't mean to cut you off, but the next thing I'm going to ask you about this computer generated art. You know, a lot of this stuff takes the individual out of the picture. And, you know, and they can copy anybody's style. And, you know, and people will think it's something that's being created from the individual, but it's just some computer mess up. You know, that's how I look at it, because it's nothing but a theft of other people's creativity and artistic expression, you know. I was going to ask you, how do you feel about that?
It's theft, really. With this AI stuff and that I've been looking at, is that you can, I mean, it's, I'm not going to say it's cute, but it's a theft of creativity, because you're doing somebody else's stuff and not creating your own, and it really messes up. I really don't like it, because you can take somebody else's work, mix it up with somebody else's work, put it together and whatever and things, and come up with your own thing. But it's still that somebody, and that somebody else's work. It's not your own. You know, it's not taking time and sitting down and trying to think and process and engineer something that, you know, you, and structure something that you really love. This thing is just like, you know, all right, well, I like this object. Well, let me take this object and put this thing in here and things. It's just like taking somebody's music and doing the same thing. You know, I mean, you know, it's not like hip hop where they're rapping over it. It's just that, you know, just you taking one of the scientists' music and putting it up with somebody else's, and then, oh, well, this is mine. It's just, and they're doing art in the same way. And I really don't like it. It's not creative.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to jump in here right now and say that's why this actor and writer strike is important, because it has this contrast with somebody trying to take an image and get paid for it in perpetuity and using artificial intelligence and, you know, just tearing a book out of that particular strike and what they're a part of, what their protest is about, kind of doesn't directly relate to what you're talking about as far as artificial intelligence, but it's on the line, and it's up to us, you know, as you know, people to be actively advocating against certain things that we see as wrong in the industry of art, and you know, make some noise about it. Not only just make noise, but make changes, laws, because artificial intelligence is new. And I don't think that, you know, if you give a guy a paintbrush and a board or whatever, something to write on right in front of you, right, artificial intelligence can't do that. All right. Artificial intelligence might be looking good, but at the end of the day, the personal human touch is what it misses the mark on. But I want to bring Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, this conversation has gone on for a minute, and we've talked about artificial intelligence, but I want to bring you back in here, right? Make sure you take yourself off mute, and let's get this party started once again. I'm handing it back over to you.
Yeah, no problem. I think that a lot of the points that were brought up were very straight and forward. One of the things that I'm just going to make some comments. One of the things that I find that was problematic in the past is that when you had a plethora of artists doing the artwork, and they, you know, a lot of them were adolescents, young, and they was doing it out of the fun of doing the artwork. A lot of them didn't think in terms of copywriting their material or copywriting their artwork on the walls. There's been a recent case that's been settled with 5 points where a lot of the artists, that the manager of the or the owner of the building decided to dismantle the building and then have some sort of redevelopment project taking place. There was a multi-million-dollar payout, and the artists were able – you know, fortunately, some of the artists were able to get some monies out of that, some revenue out of that reality. One of the things that I find problematic is that, and we talked about this earlier, Chain, is that the artist was doing it for fun at one point. In the beginning, it was for sport. But while we were doing it for sport, we now see that this is now a multi-billion-dollar industry with hip hop in terms of advertising. How important is it now for artists to be able to understand copyright, copyright infringement, so on and so forth? You know, with me bringing up the 5 points situation that has recently taken place.
It's funny that you bring up that 5 points thing. See, it's with me, it's funny because I just think that the owner got what he wanted, you know, them out of the way, you know, because if they were smart with that money, they would have put in a museum or something somewhere or whatever, you know. They just said, you know what, let me give you a couple of dollars and you know you're going to go do whatever it is you're going to do or whatever, and just we'll build whatever it is we're going to build over here. Because, like I said, if they were smart with that money, they would have just put a foundation for, you know, for graffiti artists. But that didn't happen. you know, whatever they're doing with the money, I don't know, whatever they're doing, you know, because, hey, you know, if it was a nice payout, that's something they should have teamed up. You know what? We should have get our own museum, especially where it's born in New York. But
and I agree with you, because now I'm never going to put the graffiti stuff down. I'm always going to be with graffiti. I'm going to move with it, and then move with all the stuff you did historically and how you actually gave us a place in this history and put all the work that you've done. But as a librarian / archivist, I find that a lot of the artists don't see the importance of archiving their intellectual property, cataloging it, if you will, being able to make it something that can actually bring future revenue in perpetuity. A lot of the other ethnic groups tend to understand the importance of making sure that their history is in place in perpetuity. I know that there's talks about hip-hop museums and so on and so forth, and there's a museum down in Florida, but what I feel as a librarian, like we have libraries all over the country, I feel as if with all of the artwork that was developed with the graffiti artists, you can never have enough museums. And I agree with you. If money was paid out, then why was that? Why wasn't that a part of the discussion to say, well, let's take some of this money and actually, that should have been part of the settlement agreement. Okay, we're going to pay this out, but also there needs to be a home for artists and for a museum or what have you.
Yeah.
That's a really important point that you brought up.
You know, I just was saddened by it, you know. You touched on Florida, and that's another thing, you know, because that's the curator of that museum is a New Yorker, and he couldn't have pulled that off in New York, put it that way. You know, I had went down there last year, and you know, just to witness it. And it, you know, the sad thing about it is, like we talk about, is the history of it. You know, because I look on the history part. You know, you got something I did with, you know, I did for another writer part. You got that up there, Fudge, and then you got Lee Enslaved underneath, where Lee Enslaved's history is before that piece. You know, if they're, and I would say, if I'm Lee Enslaved and I go here and read this, I kind of would be a little upset. Or, you know, you got a place where, you know, you got one of the baddest pieces, you know, that started the mechanical letter game and everybody wanting to be like that. And that was one of Riff's pieces. It was a memorial piece. And it was Bot's brother Solid had died, and they did a commemorative car for him. And it was like a Solid by Don Riff. And he has the car in his museum, and you got the Solid, the one that passed away. You got that kind of darkened out, and then you got the Riff darkened out. You got, you know, I'm saying, if somebody actually, you know, historically sees this, you know, what is it? What are they going to believe? You know, and this is really killing me with these museums. You know, if you're going to put something in there and things, put something in there and things that's really going to make sense. That's why we pretty much need our own museum, because this thing here, you know, a lot of them, are just out of hand or want a certain type of history their way, and it's not their way. It's the history that, you know, we planted, you know, and I'm just a cog in it, you know. It's just, you know, we just need another platform and things than these other museums and things that distort the kind of history we have, because it's a beautiful history, But it's just, you know, a lot of distortion along the way, you know, because like you said, it's a lot of egoists around there. And it's just something that we really don't need.
All right. I want to bring in another voice to chime in with a comment or a question, Mr. Jaja Shakur. Jaja, good morning.
Yes, good morning. How you guys doing?
All right, all right.
You can hear me?
Yes, we can.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, yeah, great conversation, man. Richard Bay, man, you caught me off guard, man. These 50s catching up to me, man. Getting some rest, but everything is well and good, but great conversation. So there is a lot of conversation around hip-hop and museums. Actually, there's a hip-hop museum that's going to be launching in 2024. You guys probably already talked about it in New York, in the Bronx, the Universal Hip-Hop Museum, and it's being curated by, you know, a group of hip-hoppers as well as some corporate sponsors and things of that nature. But one of the curators of it is one of the founders of the X-Clan. He also was a manager of the Latin Quarters back in the day in New York. I've been to the archives. I saw the archives, some very powerful archives from Public Enemy, Karis One, Biz Markie, a whole lot of artifacts. We must remember, though, that most museums in America and the world, those artifacts are stolen property from conquerors and conquistadors who come and steal intellectual property and cultural property from the invading countries or the invading cultures that they get the artifacts from, then place them in the museums as stolen goods and property, then claim them as their own. The difference between the Universal Hip Hop Museum is that these are hip hoppers who some were artists, but some were not, but were into the business of hip-hop as well as the culture of hip-hop. They are archiving the culture. The question is that we have to ask is how do we not only archive our culture, but how do we use culture as not just collateral, but culture as commerce that we could claim as our own as a commercial property so that we could not depend on these corporate sponsors to archive our culture, then tell our story as if it is their own. We must always remember that we live in a capitalistic society and everything is based upon commerce. They don't care nothing about culture. They don't care nothing about consciousness. They only care about the commercial aspects of culture and how they could benefit from it and how their children and their children's children could benefit, not our own. So we have to take our cultural property, our intellectual property, and we have to unite with others who could protect it, which is us from our culture, and then archive it and tell our story so that our story could be told from us and not from people who are thieves or culture vultures, as Dame Dash said so eloquently in his book, Culture Vultures.
Mm-hmm.
Chain 3, you can respond to that any way you like.
I mean,
at the beginning, I said we would make waves, and so let's make some waves.
Well, the first thing we had to do is like give ourselves our own platform, okay, and you know. We have to get in touch with these, I hate to say stars or whatever and things, man, you know, and have them believe that there are something out there. And like the Magics, the Michaels or whatever, we have to get these guys, you know, you guys want to invest in baseball teams and all of this and things, there's an art out there that people love, and there's a platform and things that people are, you know, that the people buy your stuff from, okay, and can help you advance as well as us, you know. It's just getting that right person to invest in things, because I can tell you, you know, I've just seen it overseas and things. You have one vein. These guys had rented an airplane hangar, okay, airplane hangar and had an art show going on in the air. I couldn't believe it. Put up some walls or whatever and things, man. And it's not like we ain't got no creativity and things, man. The thing is, having our, you know, putting our avenues together. And that's the only thing that we really need and things, and just finding that, either that, I always say that magical Michael or whatever, that that right investor and things that's business-minded and things, man, and put this thing, you know, to order. Because I've seen it many times, and just in one time overseas, looking at them in an airplane hangar, put up partitions all over through this hangar and have an awesome art show. Different artists, street artists, graffiti writers, venues or whatever. I seen it in Oakland. Aerosol. I couldn't believe it and things like it. You know, that was the first time, if I had the picture to show you, the first time I ever seen, you know, brothers ever come together, because I was ever, you know, I was thinking, you know, is brother still, you know, writing, or, you know, one day you think. And they say, all right, man, why don't you, you know, come out to Oakland or whatever and things, you know, let's see how it's happening out there. And in one shot, I couldn't believe what I seen within the street art community out there. You know, they'll sit around there and tell you one thing or the bad side or whatever about what's happening in L.A. and all of that. But the good side about it and things, they had a lot more togetherness than they had in New York. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And, it was like super unity, you know. But it was like, you know, you had that unity just for a few days, you know, because you had to go home, you know. But that's the type of unity we need. And hopefully, you know, like, we can get somebody and things, man, because I get it. We all got, you know. Because it's just finding that right one with the business mind and things and get us a nice arena or whatever and put us, you know, so we can make our ends like we want to, or rent us some, like, what was that, Jacob Javis Center, something like that. We need something like that, you know. So, but it just takes the right, you know, the right avenues or the right business-minded person to put this all together. You know, it ain't like we can't do it. It's just finding, you know, that right avenue.
Okay. Mr. Harris, any closing remarks or words that you want to add, question or comment?
No, well, only I would say that this was really enlightening to me, because I wasn't aware of the expansiveness when it came to graffiti artists. And like the brother was just saying, how we need to get some kind of unity between the brothers that are doing something to be get a greater exposure. You know, I think stuff like that is very important to talk about, and I'm glad that somebody is actually doing it.
Okay. I'm going to get Jaja. Jaja, you had a lot to say, and any last words, question, or comment from what you've already added to this discussion?
Yeah, so for me, I'm a visionary, so I look at the next 50 years of hip-hop. You know, we're celebrating this year the 50th year anniversary of hip-hop. The next 50 years, we have to deal with sovereignty, which is self-governance, and that's what the brothers is talking about. In order for us to tell our story, we must own our story, tell our story, and we must, you know, archive it, like Kamora always has been doing for the last 30-plus years, but we have to have ownership of our equity and our property that we create. And the Universal Hip-Hop Museum, you know, is next year. It's coming out, and you guys can check that out. Paradise Gray from the X-Clan is one of the chief of curators of that. And you can definitely check out myself and what I'm doing. The Hip Hop Business Academy is coming at the end of this year, where I'm teaching artists on how to monetize their art. So look for it. You can look for me on Jaja Shakur on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
I
love it.
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
You can say more than one thing.
You know that hip-hop museum, you know that hip-hop museum is down from the Bronx Zoo?
Yes, sir.
The one that they're building?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that one that they're building. Do you know, like, that next to that the Kool Out Crew used to, you know, and that's the crew that nobody really talks about. It's like the Eminem crew and the Kool Out crew. And what's the name? Raheem used to live around there. Raheem from Furious Five. He lived around there. And I was also me and Eric Vasquez used to DJ in that park. And it kills me and things. They build it. I said, you're building the museum down from the way. I said, man, they don't even know. I said, this is the park that we used to DJ in. I can't believe they 50 years of hip-hop. And please, that was Ramsey Rav, Kid KC, and Glenn, Tony Tone, the other Tony Tone, and Jeannie G used to kill that part. And what's his name? Came over there one time because I was telling him, Master OC from Fearless Four, he didn't believe we was jamming over there, and he couldn't believe what he saw over there. So it's like, there's parts of that hip-hop and things, man, people don't know about. But that's one. I said, man, we was used to DJ down the block. I can't believe it. but that's another story.
Okay.
All right, Tamir,
jump in here and any question or comment? Because we have three minutes left.
Three minutes left. I think that with the plethora of information dealing with hip-hop history, specifically graffiti, I don't think interview was a great introduction. I think that there needs to be a couple of more podcasts, if you will, with Chain 3, because there's so much history that he has that needs to be shared with the collective, with the world. I think that we need to schedule another interview when it's convenient for Quest Youth Radio Show to do so. But I think that this is just the introduction. I mean, when I sit back and talk to him for hours, it's like so much. And I'm like, wow, he's a walking encyclopedia about what the history of graffiti and hip-hop. So I think this show was great. I think we may want to consider a couple of more shows to really get a lot of the stuff out, because there's a lot of questions that he can answer, and a lot of historic anachronisms that can be cleared, and actually, because he has the facts. He has a lot of the facts that he can share, because he was right there. So I think this is a great show. I'm looking to do many, many more. And then he can introduce us to other parties that's been a very integral part of the development of the history of what we know as hip-hop. I mean, they was doing hip-hop before it was even a name for hip-hop, because they were the first. They're the first elements of it. Graffiti is the first element. Before there was even hip-hop, it was graffiti.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. So many of the most renowned artworks make a powerful comment on the social and political issues of the time. And street art, what we've been talking about today, or better known for the lay people, graffiti, can make a huge impact in this respect. And that being said, the last word goes to Chain 3. Wrap us up. Last words.
Okay. Well, I always think our art is important, and because it's a new art, and we're the new Picassos, the new Michelangelos, and I think they really need to be recognized in this game. And, you know, I ain't talking about just me. I'm talking about the ones that are before me, because the Butchers, the Pels, the Bots, the Phases need to be really more recognized and talked about. the Latin phases with the FDTs, the Rogers and things. Those guys were kings, you know, and those guys were brought joy to my heart. And I just hope, and, you know, at least, you know, because I'm up there in age, I just hope, you know, there'll be a more bigger platform for these artists, and, you know, that miss the times and whatnot, you know, because artists now, you know, like you said, they're more business-minded, and you have some that need, you know, to be more business-minded. And we need it, you know, just to stay together in this game. And I guess, you know, like more of the younger and the older need to get together, and we'll have something going. And that's it for me.
Okay. Well, that's said and duly noted. And I want to thank you for being part of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. That's a wrap. I want to thank Ja Ja Shakur, Mr. Shelton Harris, of course, the Black Librarian, to me, Tamir Davis, and more importantly, our honored guest, Chain 3. Thank you once again, and that's a wrap for today's show. Peace, everybody.
Peace.